The reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For the greater part of my life, I've always wanted to be slim and elegant. Now, as you can see, I've never achieved that. Oh, thank you. I wouldn't have minded being a bit fragile looking. You know, the sort of person that men rush to open the door for you in case it's too heavy for you to push. That hasn't happened to me either. Nobody's offered to carry my baggage or my shopping. Nobody's offered to push my trolley round Tesco's. Very sad. But there you are. I am what I am. But I'm sure if I were to ask you that, some of you would say you wish things would be different about you, perhaps. I know a lot of ladies who would like to be slimmer. You know, I'm not looking at them because I can't see through these glasses. But many ladies would like to be slimmer. Many men would perhaps like to have more hair. And I'm not looking at anybody either. But just check the first front row. Perhaps you'd like your hair to be a different colour. Well, that's no problem nowadays. Just go down to Boots and get a couple of pots or packets or whatever it is you get from Boots, and you can be any colour you like. Perhaps you don't like the size of your nose. Well, but you see, we are as God has made us. And I believe we've got a God of infinite variety. Wouldn't it have been terrible if he'd made us all the same? Can you imagine? I'm tempted to say, if everybody looked like me, that would be terrible. But God is a God of infinite variety, and he made us all different, and we are different. We think differently, we act differently, we speak differently. But we are special. I believe that with all my heart, that God knows all about me and that he cares about me. Now, some people find that very difficult to understand. When I, years ago, years and years ago, when I was in Sunday school, I remember someone saying to me, but how, miss, can God know about me when there are millions of people in the world? And all I could say was, he cares for you because he says so. He says in his words, he cares for you. He knows all about you. In fact, he goes further than that. In Psalm 139 that everybody knows, he said, and I quote from the Authorized because that's the version I was brought up on, when you were being wondrously knit together in the secret places. In other words, before you were even born, he knew all about you. Because he says, I have called you by name. He didn't say, are you? Are you? He says, I have called you by your name because you are precious to me and I love you. And then he does a strange thing. He takes us, different as we are, peculiar. Now, there are two senses of that word. I'm not sure which one I'm using. Peculiar as we are. And he puts us all together. And he says, you are my body. You are my body. Now, on my bookshelf, I have a little book, and it's called Building with Bananas. I'm sure some of you have probably read it. And the authors say that they came by this title because they were walking past a building site one day, and they saw a bricklayer looking at a pile of bricks which had been very badly made. And some of them were bent in the middles and curved up at the end. And he was looking at those and he said, what am I supposed to build with these? They're just like bananas. But when they passed sometime later, they discovered that master bricklayer as he was, he had built a tall, strong wall out of these defective bricks. And the Lord takes us, banana-like though some of us may be, and he says, you are part of my body. Now, I don't know whether you noticed it, but I was going to say preachers are strange people, but I'll rephrase that, and I'll say, have you noticed that some ministers have got little phrases that they use? Well, the one that always intrigues me is they'll give you a verse or they'll give you a chapter, and they say, now I'm going to unpack it. Do you hear them say that? I imagine a big box all wrapped up in brown paper and tied with strings, and you open it and you've got bubble wrap inside and goodness knows what. And I'm always intrigued about this unwrapping, or what was it? Well, you know, Roger, what the other phrase is. Unpacking. That's it, unpacking. You can imagine it. Well, I want to talk about 1 Corinthians 12 today, where Paul talks about the body. And it doesn't need any unpacking. Because you know why? Because Paul was absolutely straightforward about what the body was to be like. No ifs and buts. This is the way it must be, he said. But I hope that as we think of it together, perhaps, we may be able to just tear a little bit of the paper and see something that we hadn't noticed before. Now, the first thing he says is that every part is different. Now, you know that, don't you, with a physical body. Every part is different, but every part has its place in the body, and until every part is in its place, the body is not complete. And no part is more important than another. You can't say, well, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, it says the hand can't say because I'm not an eye, or the ear can't say because I'm not a foot, I'm not part of the body. We're all part of the body. And you can't say, because you're not like me, you're not part of the body. Every one of us is part of the body. We're all important, and we all have our part to play. Now, I have a friend, and I'm not looking at anybody, and I like to pass on my thoughts, because if she doesn't like them, I'm not allowed to say them. And we were talking about this, and I said, you know, When you think about the body, what part do you reckon you are? And because she's very bright and intelligent, quick as a flash, she said, the little toe. The little toe? What are you talking about? Well, she said, years ago, I used to teach in Sunday school, and I used to work with the JUCOs, and I used to work in the youth, with the youth, and I used to drive the minibus, and I did all sorts of things, and I really felt that I was a hand. I was doing all, but now, I can't do a great deal for various reasons, and I feel as if I'm a little toe. Now, let me say something to you people, if you're suffering from a little toe syndrome. Little toes are very important, and we've got enough medical people in this church to tell you, where's Nikki? Am I right, Nikki? That if you didn't have your little toes, you'd probably fall over because you couldn't balance properly. They are important. They're as important as the big toe and every other little toe, every other toe in between. Don't think because you can't now do what you used to do in the body of Christ, you're unimportant. And I say this advisedly because it is, we celebrate 81 years of Women's Hour today, and we're all a bit on the ancient side. And I sometimes feel, I sometimes can identify with this, and I think, yeah, I feel a bit like a little toe today. I'm ancient. I'm a bit decrepit. What's my job in the body of Christ? And then, you know, this is a sure thing that'll buck you up if you feel a bit like that. Go to Psalm 91, and Anne knows what I'm going to say, because I repeat this so often that she knows it by heart. Psalm 91 says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age, for they are ever full of sap and green. Now, I want to be full of sap and green for as long as possible, and I want to take my part in the body of Christ. So if you're not a pastor, if you're not a deacon or somebody else that holds a title in this church, mind you, if you've been to as many deacons' meetings as I have that go on to 11 o'clock in the night, you wouldn't be over-anxious. But if you don't hold a position in the church, don't think you're not important in the body, because you are. We all have our job to do. Can you imagine what it would be like if we were all pastors? Who would make the tea and the coffee? Who would work the PA? Who would welcome people? The body is made up of individual members, and we are all part of them. Then he goes on to say, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. Now, has it ever occurred to you, and this may be a strange concept to some of you, has it ever occurred to you that very often it's easier to weep with people who are sad than it is to rejoice with people who are glad? Now, that sounds a strange thing, doesn't it? But have you ever, when you've heard of something lovely happening to someone, have you ever said, through gritted teeth, isn't that nice? But inwardly you're thinking, well, everything nice happens to them. What about me? It says here quite clearly, when one member rejoices, we all rejoice together. But then he goes on to say, when one member suffers, we all suffer. Now, most of you can sympathize. We can all sympathize. But can we empathize? Now, that's very different. That's something very, very different. That's quite a different thing. Some time ago, I had to spend a couple of days in the Heath Hospital. Oh, you weren't there then. Or you'd have looked after me. Some months back, I had to spend a couple of days in Heath Hospital, and I remember saying to the consultant, well, now you've identified what the problem is, and if you say the problem is here, why am I getting awful pains in between my shoulder blades? And he looked at me as hospital consultants can look at one and say, well, we call that referred pain. Referred pain. One bit of me was not too well, and another part was hurting in sympathy. It had taken on some of the pain. And I just wonder, do we love one another enough in this fellowship? Do we love one another enough to take on part of another person's pain? Now, that's not an easy thing to ask, is it? And it's not an easy thing to do. But then, who said that following Jesus was going to be easy? It's not, is it? It's not an easy thing, but that's what we need to do. We need to love one another enough that we can enter a little when they are hurting, enter into a little of their pain. And I just want to tell you something. And I don't want you to think that I need a commendation for this. It's just that it was an illustration. A couple of years ago, I had a phone call on a Sunday afternoon. And it was from the daughter of a friend of mine. And she said, my mother wants to see you, and she wants you to come round now straight away. Well, I couldn't understand this. And I said, well, what's the problem then? And she said, well, you know that yesterday we had a family celebration. And I said, yes. Well, she said, my mum and dad came home and my father suddenly keeled over and died. Now, I have to say, I wasn't very sure what I was going to do or what I was going to say. And as I went around to her house, I kept praying, Lord, 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 give me the words to say. Give me the words to say. But you know, when I got there, there was no need for words. We just hugged each other and we cried together. She didn't want words of wisdom. She didn't want me to quote scripture at her. She wanted me to hold her hand and be there, and as best I could, to take on some of her pain. Now, I know that that was nothing special. And I know from experience that there are plenty of loving, caring people in this church to just be there, to hold her hand, to take on some of the pain. And that's what we have to be in the body of Christ, more loving, more caring, more able to really empathize. That's being body. And then Paul goes on to talk about gifts and about serving in the church. And he brings out all the big things like apostles and prophets and interpreters and speakers in tongues and all that. But I don't believe that our God was stingy when he gave out gifts. And I think he gave us a lot. More, he gave us enough to be able to build up the body of Christ. And then I was talking to this long-suffering friend of mine, and I said, what do you reckon your gifting is? And she said, talking too much? No, I couldn't argue with that. And I reckon it's a gift that a lot of us have got. But you know, what she didn't say was that when there was a visitor in this church, she would go to them and make them welcome. I've seen her cross the church before now, and I say, where are you going? Oh, well, there's some people over there, I think, are visitors. I'll just go and have a word with them. That's being body. She's got other talents. I've already embarrassed her by talking about it. So I won't embarrass her anymore by telling you what I think her real talents are. Because she has many. And she uses them for the upholding of the body. Now, sometimes I say, whenever I've said this in ladies' meetings, somebody will invariably come to me and say, well, I don't know what my talents are. I'm sure I haven't got any. Now, that isn't true. But very often you need somebody else to point your gifts out to you. And I have had this happen to me. I've had two gifts that I didn't know I had, and I can't understand why I've got them, pointed out to me. One young lady said to me that she found me very scary. Now, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? And so I feel one of my gifts, probably, is the ability to terrify people. And there are people in this church who have been known to call me boss. And that, again, is something that I don't understand. So I can only conclude that another of my giftings is this authoritative direction giving. I wonder why somebody bought me a fridge sticker which said, "Everybody is entitled to my opinion." So don't let anybody tell you you haven't got gifts. They may not be the obvious ones, but God gave every one of us something to strengthen his body. Now, years ago, there was a lady in this church who made, she was absolute wizard at making sponge cakes. And many of you will remember her and will know who I'm talking about. Not the biscuit-like things that I can turn out, but great big fat sponge cakes. And you know, if anybody in the fellowship was ill, she'd go around to see them with a piece of cake. Now, I say a piece of cake, because I maintain you knew how ill you were by how much she brought you. If you had a cold, you'd have a quarter of a sponge. If you had the flu, you'd have a half. If you had a cold and the flu and bronchitis, you'd have three quarters. Now, I never asked what you had to do to justify having a whole one. But she really felt that this was a gift that she had to use in the fellowship. And the point of it is this. When we had harvest gifts set out, and we used to have tables with fruit and flowers and vegetables, she always put a sponge cake on the table. And we said, "Why do you do that then?" She said, "Because I want to thank God that this is a gift I really believe that he's given me." Now, do you think of making sponge cakes as being a gift? I don't suppose you do. But she did, and she used it in the body. See, we've all got gifts, but the thing is, we don't all use them, do we? And they're meant for building up the body. What about the gift of encouragement? What about the gift of hospitality? What about the peacemakers? They're wonderful, aren't they? And I'm very sad that Paul should have to pick on two women for this, Odias and Syntyche. No, I said Odias. Eodias, her name is, but people called her Odias and so touchy. And I'm sad that, I'm sure there must have been quarrelsome men in the church too, but he picked on two women and he said, "These women have worked hard in the church and now they've fallen out." And the church, because of it, was hurting. It was hurting because two of its members were at enmity. If you, it's a bit difficult to say this, but if you perhaps have fallen out with someone, go and put it right, because it hurts the body. And I think that one of the most wonderful gifts is the giving of your time. Just 5 minutes, if somebody wants to unburden themselves, and we, you know, I maintain more problems are solved over a cup of tea than on any psychiatrist's couch. Are we willing to give a little of it? "Oh, but we're busy people," we say. Yes, we're busy people, but we can find time perhaps for Coronation Street or EastEnders or Match of the Day or a question of sport. But if somebody needs 5 minutes of your time, well then just give it to them. I heard a lady I'm sorry to keep on about Women's Hour, but it's such a part of my life. I heard a lady praying in Women's Hour a couple of weeks ago, and she said, Lord, help me to love the people I don't like. Now, that is body talk. Help me to love the people I don't like. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that I'm everybody's flavor of the month. But I'm a part of the body, and you have to love me. difficult though it might be, and I have to love you because you're the body. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And some of the more astute people amongst you will realize that although I'm speaking about 1 Corinthians 12, the scripture that was read was 1 Corinthians 13. And you may wonder what that's all about. Well, at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, I will show you a more excellent way. And then we have that lovely chapter on love. And that's what it is. The bricklayer, he made some strong mortar or cement or whatever it is that you put bricks together with, and he was able to build a straight, strong wall with the peculiar bricks that he was given. And so I believe that what holds us together as individuals in the body of Christ is the love that we have for the Lord and one for another. Let love be your aim, Paul says. Some time ago, I had a ring at my doorbell, and I went, and there was a gentleman there who addressed me in a broad Irish accent. And he was buying antiques. And he had obviously had a peep in my front window before he came up, and he said, that's a nice Pembrokeshire table you've got. Are you after selling it? I said, well, no, I hadn't really thought about that. And he looked over my shoulder and he said, well, that's a nice little chair you've got in the hall. Do you want to sell it? And I said, no. Well, have you got any bookcases, any tables, any chairs, any bureaus, any china, any ceramics, any silver, any gold, any old watches? And I kept saying, no. Well, is there anything old? Well, needless to say, I couldn't resist that. And I said, well, there's me. And he said, ah, madam, but you would be priceless. Oh, nice. You'd be priceless. Now, there are many things I've been called in my time, but priceless is not one of them. But, you know, I was thinking about this afterwards, and I thought, well, yes, you are priceless, and you are priceless too. There's no price on us now, because the price has already been paid. And I want to read you a little bit from Isaiah. And this always makes me cry, so forgive me if I burst into tears. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the fire, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now listen to this. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. I gave my son for you. And why? Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. We all together are the body of Christ. We are priceless. We are precious in his sight because he loves us. So let us learn to love one another. You know that the motto for this year was, you must love one another as I love you. Let's put that into practice until eventually we can really be the body that he intended us to be.
Let's pray. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and evermore. Amen.